Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 14 of GRCast. I'm Joe Ryan, your host, and joining me today in the studio, we have Allison Hill.
Heyo.
And Charles Battersby.
Hello.
On the Indie Music Showcase, you just heard Playing With Power off their Pause, I'd Rather Play album. That's Daytona Beach Volleyball off of, I think, Super Spike V-Ball from, what was it, Super Nintendo? Nobody knows but me. It's great, though. It's awesome stuff. You guys should be listening to all of their music. It's really good. I think we're going to kick it off, as usual, with what you've been playing. And the only person who's been playing loads of games is Mr. Charles. So tell us what you've got, Charles, and then we will sit here and whine about it.
Well, the thing that sucked up a lot of my time this week was Spec Ops: The Line. Have either of you two heard of this game?
I am a big Spec Ops fan.
A fan of the original games or of this one?
Just of this one, and only because it was free on PlayStation Plus, but I was so glad it was because I liked it a lot.
Yeah, this was something that when it came out, I remember having absolutely no interest in it whatsoever because it was a developer that did, like, you know, one crappy Xbox flight simulator, you know, 10 years ago, and I'd never played any of the original Spec Ops games. And so when this came out, I got a little hands-on with it at some convention and remember thinking, oh my god, this is brilliant! Because those of you who haven't played it, it's essentially Heart of Darkness and Apocalypse Now translated to a modern Middle Eastern war setting. And it's the sort of game that it is just magnificent narrative and storytelling to the point that it's almost a satire of the modern military shooter. But it's done with such razor-thin satire that it comes across for, you know, probably the first half of the game as just some goofy shooter. And when it came out, I played just a little bit of it and then set it aside for probably, I guess, a year and a half now, and finally got around to just banging through the campaign. And it's one of those things where I've been kicking myself for why didn't I play this thing the day it dropped.
Yeah, that was one of those games where it just looked like, oh, you're just walking through the desert shooting people. How many times have I done that? But then I got so wrapped up in it. There were just some points in that game where I was just sitting there like, my God, I cannot believe what I'm doing right now or what they're forcing me to do. They like want you to make a decision, and I would try to make the better of two decisions that were both horrible, and it would never work. You'd just have to go back and do the horrible thing you didn't want to do.
Yeah, it takes the war is hell premise that we get in a lot of movies and books and video games, but it really hammers it home that your character is in this situation where you repeatedly have to do terrible things, or you repeatedly accidentally do terrible things without intending to do it, without, you know, walking into the situation knowing that, hey, this is the right thing to do, we're Johnny Hero, we're going to wipe out the enemy brigade and go on and catch the bad guy, and then you find out that because, you know, there's something wrong with your intelligence, or you've made a misunderstanding, but your character ends up doing horrible, horrible things repeatedly in this game.
And it's presented in such a way that it always feels like not only is this the right decision, but this is the only decision that makes sense. And sometimes they will actually let you choose doing one of two things, and it seems like no matter what you choose, there was no right decision. You're going to feel terrible about it. And there are times where it's like, this
right.
is the obvious choice. Like, this was the only decision that I could possibly make. This is the only one that is a good decision. And it would still end up going horribly awry.
Yeah, you know, you usually, well, in the first half of the game, you at least feel like, yeah, I'm Mr. Joe Hero with my big-time killing gun, gonna go kill the bad guys now. And then you find out, you know, that the soldier that you killed was just some nice guy that thought he was doing the right thing, and then you know, blew him up just because he was wearing a uniform that's different than yours.
I think, yeah, it has a lot, they're saying a lot about military stuff and a lot about other shooters in general. It's similar, in a way, to Bioshock, where they're just saying, like, why are you doing this? Are you just following the orders that the game gives you or whatever? What is the other option you could have taken? Because you're just walking around shooting people, you don't know anything about them, you just walked in here and decided, oh, look, guys with guns, bad guys, and started pulling the trigger until everyone's dead without ever asking, why?
Yeah, and one of the more subtle features of the game is the little hints that appear at the bottom of the screen during the load screens. If you screw up a mission, and in the early parts of the game, it'll remind you which button throws the grenade or zooms in your sniper scope. And then by the time you reach the end of the game, the hints at the bottom of the screen are, "This is all your fault."
That was fantastic too. I would almost look forward to dying or something just so I could see how the game was going to make me feel bad with the hint section of the load screen.
Oh, yeah. At one point, the hint screen assured me that I'm still a good person.
Did you disagree at the time?
Well, I had to realize there are two moments that really struck me in this. One is there's a sequence where one of the bad guys in the game insists you'll never get to him, you'll never be able to fight your way through all his minions, and the old song "Nowhere to Run, Nowhere to Hide" kicks in right at that moment, and I remember thinking, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna kill the hell out of these guys," and then realizing, of course, that just because the soundtrack is all, peppy and inspiring, doesn't mean I should necessarily murder everyone standing nearby me.
All it takes to make you want to kill people is to put a nice little tune behind it, and then you're like, okay, murder spree.
That's pretty much the way the gamers have been conditioned. When that hard rock music kicks in Halo, it's like, yeah, just stick some grenades on whoever is nearby and, blow the hell out of them. Blow up the hell out of them. And the other moment that really struck me was they have a repeated reference to white phosphorus and using incendiary bombs to fight people. And in a lot of games, especially modern military, you do feel really cool when you get that rare incendiary grenade and can actually set someone on fire. And so in this game, they kind of tease you with that for a while, and then there's a sort of a plot twist or a revelation about how it's wrong to set people on fire, which gamers really need to be told, oh, it's wrong to set people on fire, even though they're imaginary video game people.
Right, that was I felt like that was a powerful moment. The first, I think it happens maybe twice, and one of the times you are responsible for it, one of the times you're not, but they let you do this awesome thing and you think, I am so cool, look what I'm doing. I'm doing like the awesome drone strike thing or whatever. I'm wiping these guys out, they're screwed. But then after you just got done feeling like a badass, they make you walk through and see the results of your actions, and it made me very uncomfortable.
It's really clever bit of manipulation done from the design team. And the people that made this game, they had like one other game that they did back in 2003, and then this just suddenly comes out a year and a half ago. So it was a huge surprise that these people could just suddenly rise to the challenge and make such an awesome narrative-driven game.
Yeah, if people haven't had a chance to play it, I really, really recommend it. I think when the reviews came out, people said the same thing. Like, the shooting and stuff is a little generic, but the story is so good that it just demands to be played, and I basically agree.
Yeah, it frequently makes an appearance on sales on PC and on the consoles. So even if we haven't convinced you to run out and drop $20 on it now, it doesn't seem to sell well, no matter how many critics talk about how great it is. So it'll eventually be on sale somewhere in the near future.
If you like it, just buy a
But
couple
you should
copies
run
for
out.
your friends. Just buy it for everyone you know and say, you have to play this game, and then hopefully they'll want to play the next thing that developer does.
Or you can run out and buy one of their old Xbox Flight Simulator. Oh, but actually, on Steam, Spec Ops: The Line is one of the free bonuses that people will get if they buy the new XCOM game. So, I guess that's not really helping the developer that people are going to be getting free copies of their game. So run out and buy it now with actual money dollars if you can.
If you were never going to buy it anyway, I guess, at least get it free and try it, and then just make a donation to the developer, maybe, or don't, but at least experience the game because it's a good, I hesitate to call it a good time, but it's an experience you should have. Well, what else do you have, Charles, besides, I know there's like a million things on the list.
Well, there's currently a multi-user online battle arena game that is set in the DC Comics universe, and it seems that just about every intellectual property is suddenly getting a MOBA adaptation of their characters. And so I've had a little bit of time to play the beta of the Infinite Crisis MOBA.
I didn't even know that this existed, to be honest.
It exists. It is a thing. It's currently in beta, so I can't go into details about it. But it's one of those games where it just seems like everybody is trying to cram their characters into Defense of the Ancients or League of Legends. And, this is, it's exactly what it says on the box, sort of. So it's the DC Comics characters running around fighting little minions trying to capture bases. It's essentially just a straightforward MOBA, but your character can kind of sort of look like Wonder Woman if you want.
That does not sound like it is going to be as exciting as any of the other MOBA games that people are probably already playing.
Well, I've got to stress this is very early in the beta stage. It's my hope that as the game develops, they'll be releasing a lot more characters and some more levels because a MOBA really thrives on, having this huge list of different characters and having different skins that you can play around with. So it's something that, right now I'm not thrilled with, but I can only hope that they open up the DC Universe roster of existing characters and, flood the game with different playable characters that you can choose from and try to find a way to really balance them out so that the fans, that are all there are already legions of fans of these characters. So if they can just make good use of their intellectual property, they have something here that could work.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with that. I feel like the MOBA genre is, if that's even what you consider it, everybody, somehow someone must have went, this thing is really popular. Let's just try to find any way we can do this. Like they've got, there's Smite, I think, is one of them, except it's the same similar thing, but it's in sort of third person, where it's almost like a third person shooter or a WoW style game, but it's a MOBA thing. And then they've got Awesome Knots, which is the two, I think that's the 2D one that's out on. I know it's on PS3. I'm not sure what else, but it must be
It's
working.
on all the major platforms.
Ah,
Yeah,
nice.
I've played Awesome Knots, and the MOBA gameplay does translate really well into a side scroller. And also they were very aggressive in constantly putting out new characters for people to screw around with.
Nice. So I should try this. If I like, do you think if I like DC people, I don't, do I like DC people? I like Batman. Should I play this game for Batman?
Now, based on what I played in the beta, you should not run out and play this game just because you like Batman. Most of the DC Comics characters have some other game that's better and a more authentic experience. Everybody has been kind of shoehorned into the MOBA gameplay, so characters all have, their basic punch attack, and they just have a couple of super attacks that you can unlock. So if you like Batman, you should really stick with the Arkham series.
Yeah, I'll probably do that. This seems like the kind of thing where I feel like this happens with a lot of different properties or whatever, but it would just be like whoever chooses Superman wins automatically. He just flies over there at 1 million miles an hour and punches everything to death in the end.
The version that was out now, there is no Superman character playable, but Green Lantern will constantly drop like flying jet fighters on you. So that's the thing that seems to just suddenly kill me out of nowhere when I'm playing the game.
Nice. You gotta love that.
Yeah, and Wonder Woman plays like she's, a sack of bananas. Oh, she just gets slaughtered no matter what I do. But again, I have to stress, the game is still in beta, so there'll no doubt be lots of balancing issues and probably more characters by the time it actually launches to the public.
So you think there's a spot for this among MOBA fans? I mean, do you think anybody's gonna quit like Heroes of New Earth, League of Legends, Dota 2, whatever, to play this one, or do you think this is trying to appeal just to DC Comics people who might not play MOBAs or only have a little bit of MOBA experience?
Yeah, it's definitely the latter. I mean, no one's going to give up League of Legends to go out and try some other MOBA that's come along. But This does seem like it's very clearly intended for people who already like the franchise and do want to play some Batman game, but for some reason don't want to go out and play Arkham City. I'm also under the impression that it's going to be a free-to-play game, so that's probably going to draw in a lot of fans.
Well, nice. I guess there's no reason not to give it a try. Hey, if you like mobile games and you like DC characters, just give it a shot. If it's free, why not? What do you have to lose? It might turn out to be something you really like.
But we'll be back with the official review after the final version of the game becomes available.
Perfect. I will look forward to that at the very least to see how you feel about it, Charles. I trust Charles implicitly on games now. Everything he's ever recommended, everything he likes, I like. It's amazing.
Silence! Do my bidding and buy this game!
I thought that was me.
It is. Oh, that's the problem. It's both of you. As soon as everything you guys recommend here today, I'm going to want to spend money on. Allison's my art game person. She's always got some goofy art game she played that's going to make me on the internet for like 2 weeks researching the meaning of it all. And Charles just plays, seems like, everything.
Well, I actually spent the last week bumping up my total time with Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas to, a little over 400 hours.
Woo!
Really?
And I had th yeah, I had this really sad moment as I was running through this one level of Fallout 3, where it's such a vast free-roaming world that I realize every little thing in that game has been made by some game designer, and I just feel bad for whatever level designer, put that little camp of super mutants in that one little spot and made a little backstory for these little characters that most gamers will never even come across. And then when I ran across the super mutant camp, I just blew them all up with a rocket launcher without going down there to find out what their story was. And it just seems like a disservice to the person that designed that little part of the game.
Right.
Oops.
Maybe they think that's special, though. Maybe they meet up with the 10 different people who went down there and found out the story or whatever, and they think, this person gets it. This person is a person like me. They were just trying to weed out the violent people like you, Charles.
In a huge role-playing game like that, or most of what BioWare makes, you go in and you just wonder, am I missing the most awesome NPC and the best quest, the one thing that I'd love most about this game? Did I not get it because I didn't talk to that one guy in the bar?
I end up getting compulsive about games like that and just wandering around trying to see everything. Somehow, every time I play it, though, I end up just doing all the same stuff, all the same quests, and then if I come back and I go, all right, let me look at like a guide and see what I've missed. It turns out I've missed 80% of the game, and I feel like I've done everything. It makes me feel stupid every time.
I was actually at the end of Fallout 3 without spoiling anything, because actually, I think Joe, I think we talked about this previously in a podcast long, long ago, and where you had the option of choosing somebody to do something, but you couldn't choose the one person who could have done it properly. And it wasn't until after they made DLC that they let you make that choice, but it was before that point. And so I was like, but he can go in there and he will be fine. Why won't he do it? This is infuriating to me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That is so annoying sometimes, where it's like it's just the limitations of being a game or something. You could just go, hey, here's how all our problems could be solved, but they didn't think of it, or it ruins the emotional impact of the moment. So they're like, well, that's kind of lame. So no, you do it. You die for your trouble.
Yeah, it was like he was like, this is your destiny or something. Like I cannot interfere in your destiny. I'm like, that's bullshit.
Go get the radiation chamber right now. So I'm trying to not blow the spoiler of the thing that happens at the end.
Surely the statute of limitations has run out on this game by now.
That's true.
I'm just going to tell everyone. In the end, Solid Snake has to crawl through the microwave, so you have to jam the button for like 15 minutes. It's terrible.
Oh my God, that part.
We can't talk about Metal Gear. Matt'll be mad he's not here.
Yeah. Where is he?
Who knows? Off being British somewhere. It's a lot of work. Well, more games. Charles has millions.
Yeah, I've been playing games obsessively the last few weeks. I've also played Defense Grid: The Awakening.
This is a game I've heard of. I feel like was it part of a Humble Bundle at some point, or like maybe it was featured prominently on a Steam sale or something? I don't know.
It was both, actually. It usually ends up on Steam's big sale, going for like $2, and it was also on one of the Humble Bundles a while ago, and you could have picked it up for $1. But it also came out for free. It was part of the Xbox Live Gold games that are free with Gold promotion. So if you logged on at the beginning of July, you could have downloaded this game for free. And people who are listening, I urge you to still consider buying it, even though it isn't free anymore. It's a tower defense game, but it kind of subverts some of the tower defense premises. And it also has a pretty strong narrative when compared to other games in the tower defense series.
So when the last time we talked about the free games and we said that Defense Grid was coming out, we were all kind of down on it. But now do you feel like actually this wasn't such a bad choice?
Absolutely. I played a little bit of Fable 3 when it came out, and that's now slipped into my pile of games to finish someday. And I played a little bit of Assassin's Creed 2, which was the most recent one, and that's also on my list of games to finish someday. But Defense Grid, I ended up just sitting down and obsessively playing it for about a week straight, and then going back afterwards to play all the unlockable modes. So it is surprisingly good, both in terms of the story, which is mostly conveyed through voiceovers from the computer, and it's also pretty challenging in the later levels in terms of just the actual tower defense gameplay. It doesn't have a wall unit, so you can't create the traditional mazes that you would in most tower defense games. It's based around the idea of very large open maps where enemies can come at you from a whole bunch of directions. So you have to seal off different choke points and kind of railroad the enemy in through areas that you've closed off.
Huh. I feel like I haven't played a tower defense game in a long time. So at some point I got the idea that these games are all the same because I had played a million of them in a row on the iPhone or whatever. And it's probably been a year or more, probably more, since I've actually played one. Maybe this is something I should look into.
You definitely should. And also, the Sanctum series puts a good little subversion on tower defense as well. Those are first-person shooters that are in a tower defense world. So you create your towers and your walls, and then you jump inside them to help fight the monsters firsthand.
Is that sort of similar to Orcs Must Die? That's another one I've been interested in, but haven't had a chance to play.
It's a little bit like that. Orcs Must Die, I believe, is more centered around setting up traps, whereas the Sanctum series, you are creating, a very traditional tower defense maze and setup, and then you're just, a little person running around inside it. But you view it from a first-person perspective, so you're still using a lot of the traditional tower defense gameplay and strategy and tactics, but then you also get to jump in there and, kill things with your laser gun.
That's pretty cool. Anybody who likes tower defense games, now you have a whole wide variety of them to choose from thanks to GRCast. If you want to say thank you, send us an email, podcast@gamesandgeeks.com. I should try Defense Grid for sure. I will. I think I will.
Yeah, I mean, at the...
I probably got it free. And now that I think of it, I could just go on there and get it, like right now.
Well, I have grabbed up all the free games as soon as they appeared, so I'm not sure. I don't think that you can buy. I don't think you can get the free games after their little 2-week free period. But don't quote me on that. But I'm pretty sure that you can't go back and grab the free games. So I just recommend everybody grab the free game as soon as it comes up for grabs.
I guess I just assumed it was up all month or something like PlayStation Plus. I have downloaded all of them or I have downloaded none of them on the 360. I really don't remember.
All right, well, find out if you can go back and grab the old ones for free still and let us know.
Will do. I will report in next week. I think you need to talk Animal Crossing some more, Charles. I can comment on that.
We always need to talk Animal Crossing. So I've continued playing it virtually every day, and boy, do I feel bad when a day goes by and I'm too busy to go in and check in with my little animal town.
I so far when I picked up this game and I was a little worried. I've only been playing for like 3 days, but I was a little worried that it was like everybody says, especially in the reviews, they're like, this is the kind of game you only want to play for 15 minutes a day. And I was like, that seems kind of lame. I would rather just sit there and play it. And it's like, even for 3 days, I have not had enough time to do everything I wanted to do in a day because I have to keep putting it down to go like do real life things. I could play that game for a long time for some reason. I think I could just walk around fishing with my little fishing pole for hours.
Yeah, so you're trying to build up the collection of fish at the museum?
Yeah, I'm trying to build up the collection of everything at the museum, but I in particular like fishing in video games for some reason. I don't know why it is. I don't like fishing games. I like that, the idea of that is terrible, but in Zelda or something, or in this, or any game like this, I just, as soon as you give me a fishing pole, there I am, throwing my life away, catching virtual fish for no reason.
Yeah, after I'd been in Animal Crossing for a couple of days, I managed to pull in a whale shark and was tremendously proud of that.
What? I didn't even know that was possible. This is amazing. I'm out of here right now. Forget this
I will
podcast. I got a
send.
whale shark to catch.
Check my Twitter account. I assure you, the whale shark exists.
I'm so excited now. It's probably past the month where you could have caught him or something, though.
Don't worry again, you'll still be playing it next year and the year after.
I believe that. I actually do believe that. I used to be really down on this type of game, like the city builder thing or the ones where it all happens in real time and everything, because I thought if I'm gonna play a game, I want to play it in my time. Like I'd rather it be like SimCity, where I can just build my town and I can do it in a couple hours or whatever. It's this huge place. But I found playing The Simpsons, thanks to Charles, that the stuff that takes a lot longer, it can be frustrating to me that I have to wait such a
Excellent,
long time
Ryan.
for things. But like, now that I've been playing The Simpsons so long, and I know I'll have a similar feeling about Animal Crossing in a few months, the sense of ownership over something when you've spent that much time watching it grow, like, 2 or 3 real months or a year or whatever, I really feel like I'm invested in it more, even though I don't have to do that much to it just because of the waiting and like the time that passes as it builds itself.
Yeah, I'm starting to become inordinately proud of how many hybrid flowers I've managed to grow.
I don't even
I
know what
wish I
you're
could play
talking
this game.
about. You should just pick up a 3DS if you don't have one and get it. It's bad though. You're gonna, if you're like us, if you have the obsessive personality where you just wanna like, I just wanna rearrange things, or I wanna fill up the museum with fossils and fish and bugs, and I feel like there's another category of thing I'm not thinking of at the moment. But man, really
Art.
good. Oh, art. I didn't even know that was a choice. This game is amazing. There's so much going on.
Oh, you haven't met the crooked fox that sells you counterfeit art yet.
No, but I've heard people cursing his name in the forums when I clicked on some info about Animal Crossing somewhere, so.
It's a cute town full of crooked little animals.
Somehow I ended up reading a whole long, I forget, I don't know what you'd call it. I guess it's fanfic or something that somebody wrote about Animal Crossing for the regular DS, where it was from the point of view of his player character, and he was like kidnapped by these animals, and all the different little kids were trapped in like basically work camps or something where they were trying to pay off debt to Tom Nook. It was, I mean, for internet fan fiction about a child's game or whatever, it was surprisingly good and disturbingly violent.
Animal Crossing is one of those games where as I play it, I realize I don't want to power game it and try to blast through the game. It's the kind of thing that you were saying earlier, you could sit down and play for hours and get dragged away by your real life. And when I look at this, I think, I don't want to sit there and grind through my banana harvesting just so I can get the top upgrade, because it's a game that I know that I do want to have incentive to play, year after year and month after month.
Yeah, I don't. I
I just
really
want to
don't.
point out that.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, I was just going to say, I really liked the term grind my banana harvesting. That's all.
Oh, yeah. Time to grind my banana harvest, if you know what I
My
mean.
only input for now.
I don't.
Yeah,
When
but
I'm.
there are games that.
Go ahead.
Well, there are games that you do not want to grind and, to overplay. When it's with something like Animal Crossing, where you have this, very large number of buildings you can create and upgrades you can do to them, there's a sense that I don't want to complete them all. I want to just do them a little at a time every day and have, my little accomplishment every day, but not necessarily, plow through it and, do the most efficient thing with my money and with my space and, beat the game. It's one of those games that the state of playing it is, more desirable than having played it.
I'm pretty much like you. I don't feel like when I'm sitting there playing it, when I'm say I could play for hours, it might be a lie because usually I only play it for about like 5 minutes and then it's go do something else. And I wonder if the fact that I have to put it down after 5 minutes and it leaves me wanting to keep playing it makes me feel like I could play it for 3 hours at a stretch, when if I had 3 hours to play it, maybe I'd be like, well, I don't really need to do this or whatever. But yeah, I don't want to like speed through it. I'm just having such a good time, like wandering around. I'm just talking to little animal people. Oh, look, there's some oranges that grew. Shake the tree, get the oranges, pick up some shells. Oh, there's the shadow of a fish. I gotta throw my bobber in. And over here's a fossil buried. I gotta get that. And then it's like, I make the mistake of walking in and seeing a really cool hat is for sale today only, so I better get some money because I know I want that damn hat.
It's interesting that we started talking about Spec Ops first and then got on to Animal Crossing, because Spec Ops is the sort of game where you want to charge through it as quick as possible and see what happens. And it's such a short game that you can sit down and play through it in just one evening, and get the total experience of it. And it's the complete opposite of Animal Crossing in terms of how players would want to invest their time with the game.
There are few games out there that I feel like make me want to do things that you would probably consider to be boring or whatever, and Animal Crossing is one of them. I agree with Spec Ops. Spec Ops is like a Band-Aid. You just want to rip it off and get it over with because you know it's going to be terrible, but it has to be done, so you do it as quickly as possible. But Animal Crossing, it was, I think it was the day I got it. I was just wandering around town. It was like probably 10 p.m. or whatever, and I just sat on a bench looking at the ocean for probably like 3 minutes. It was like I just sat there watching my little character look over the railing as he sat on a bench doing nothing, and I was just like, ha, how relaxing, as though I was sitting on a bench watching the ocean and not just spying on some little kid doing it, which is a little creepy.
Well, eventually you'll get a coffee shop and you'll be able to have your character sipping imaginary coffee while sitting on the imaginary bench looking at the imaginary ocean.
I like that. That sounds great. I don't know what it is about these games with like sort of real life tasks or whatever. Like I said before we started to Charles, is Harvest Moon is another one where some people just don't get it. But that's one of those type series of games where it's like every time I want to make my farm, I want to get the big house, I want to like have 1,000 different crops running at once or whatever in this huge place that's totally cleared out. I just want it to be awesome, probably because in real life everything is in disarray all the time. I want a virtual space that I can organize the way I want it to be organized, where things are usually happy, or the things that go wrong you can solve with a few button presses. So play Animal Crossing, Allison. Go get it.
I know, I should.
Charles and I are going to have to work out the friend code nonsense. I've never done it on any system. I have never done anything with a friend code. Full stop. None.
Yeah. Curse you, Nintendo, and your stupid friend codes. Yet we still buy your systems every time you release them.
Yeah, now I have another reason to. As soon as they bring out Animal Crossing for whatever next system it is, maybe if they make a Wii U one or something, there I'll be. Although that game really works better as a mobile thing, doesn't it? I would find it probably pretty difficult to sit down in front of my TV and like plant some flowers or whatever when I can just have it in my pocket.
Yeah, definitely. Sitting in front of your television, playing it on your GameCube, makes you really feel like you're wasting your time. But if you're, out on the go and suddenly it's time to shake the cherry trees, then you can feel like you're actually being productive.
That's what I
Shake those
need.
cherry trees.
I I need a way to make myself feel productive when I'm not really doing anything. It gives my life some meaning, I think. Well, besides Animal Crossing, I feel like there's a handful of other things you've been doing, too. You've been going crazy for games, Charles. Everybody else in this podcast is lame. This is just Charles' cast, and we comment, and then soon it will be over. We'll have said almost nothing.
Well, if I can be smug about how productive I am, I actually produced a play over the last month as well. Woo. And it's a play... Woohoo! And yes, we have quite a few very generous patrons of the arts that helped us fund it, Allison.
Yeah, I threw a few bucks at you.
Yes, and so the show, it just ended this week. It's a play that's inspired by the Fallout and BioShock games. And so even as we speak, I'm hard at work on the next version of it. And... you know, trying to keep it as authentically gamey as possible while still being a fun theatrical experience.
I had tried to send you an email and I might have sent it to the wrong place, but at some point when this is performed, is there a chance that it could be recorded? Like, I would love to purchase a DVD copy or something if there was one available, because I can't get to New York. I mean, it's just impossible, but I want to see it.
Well, actually, our Kickstarter backers got an audio recording of the show, I don't know if we're going to put that up for sale or if it'll just be a bonus for backers when we do the next production, but there is an audio recording available of it, and we also did a staged reading of it at the Penny Arcade Expo a few months ago, and back then it was just like a 20-minute sketch. Now it's like a 45-minute show, but you know, there's an older recording of it as well, so people listening to this who might want to hear what the show is like, send me an email and I'll see if I can work out an audio recording or put one of the ones that we've done up for the public to see.
Yeah, I would definitely want that. And if you happen to find one that's easily available, we can probably link that in the show notes or something. Or if you decide to sell it, I would pay for it too. I feel bad. I wanted to give money to the Kickstarter and I had none. I never do. That's what children are for, is stealing all your money. And they're only 3 and 2 years old. When they're teenagers, it's going to be a real problem. But, yeah, I would understand if you decided, no, we want the audio recording just to be a special thing for the backers, because good for them for doing what I should have done in the first place. But if you do decide to sell it later, let me know, because I will certainly purchase one.
All right, well, those of you who are cyber-stalking me, check out charlesbattersby.com, and someday, if we do that, the information will be there.
Perfect.
Oh, and speaking of things that are loosely inspired by BioShock, even as we're speaking now, the first installment of BioShock Infinite DLC has become available, and people out there right now are playing it even as we speak.
I have done a little bit of research about this since you informed me of it, like half an hour ago, and the first one does not fill me with the rampant excitement that I expected, because it's basically like a battle arena. Now, I don't know why they would choose to make a battle arena in a game that everybody said that the fighting was in the way. But I'm still going to download it, and I'll still probably like it. Apparently, you can do, different battles or something, and everything's unlocked. And you can earn cool stuff like concept art or like audio recordings and stuff. So there's a reason to do it. But it doesn't sound like there's really a narrative context to it, which... seems very strange. But they announced the next two DLCs. Has everybody heard about that?
Go on and inform us.
Yeah, it's called BioShock Infinite Burial at Sea, and they both take place in Rapture, which is probably going to annoy some people. Apparently, it takes place when Rapture was at its height, the height of its greatness, which I think is pretty cool.
That's something I've always wanted to see.
Yeah, that sounds really, really interesting. And I wonder how they will work it with the walking around and shooting of people that BioShock is sort of famous for. But I think it'll probably be very interesting. I am hoping that they have put in some effort to rebuild Rapture in such a way that it looks like a game that was made now and not a game that looks like BioShock 1, which looks like garbage on 360 and PS3 at this point. I would probably be happy either way, but they have said that you'll play as Booker in episode 1, and then in the continuation in episode 2, you play as Elizabeth, which should be incredibly interesting, I think.
Another thing that I've been looking forward to.
Whee!
Are they going to ever reveal information about what the hell Songbird is, though? It doesn't sound like it. Unless they somehow work it into the Rapture one, which I feel like would be strange, maybe.
Yeah, that is one of the big questions that's remaining for me, and I'm just waiting for it to be... Oh, wait, I'm using my powers of prediction again, so let's just see if I get this right. I am waiting for it to be revealed that that's Booker from yet another universe or another timeline.
Yeah, that could be true.
Yeah, that's kind of what I felt the whole time I was playing it, but then they never said anything. Maybe I missed an audio recording or something where they gave a hint, but... I didn't find anything basically about him at all. Maybe that's the point. Maybe he's just whoever you want. Some people think it's her mom or whatever in the suit. Some people think it's alternate Booker. Maybe it's just Jack from Bioshock. They just grabbed him, they chopped him up and put him in a bird suit and figured, what the hell?
Well, I'm just hoping that it's one of the characters from Freedom Force, that they put Manbot inside the suit and drew him in from the Freedom Force universe.
That would be great. Just tie them all together. This is the game that ties all the games together that they've ever made.
Oh wait, SWAT 4! They have to do something with SWAT 4!
Everybody wants it to be Shodan, right, from System Shock 2. That's who Songbird is. You heard it. The reveal here on GRCast.
Or Manbot.
Awesome. Man, I'm so looking forward to those two now, and I guess I'm still looking forward to Battle Arena, whatever the hell it is. I'll definitely play it and try to unlock things, but I get the feeling that I will get killed and frustrated and then go, I just want to play the new Rapture ones.
So I'm off to install it now.
Excellent. I'm guessing I will download it too. Maybe we can talk about that when we meet up again.
Sounds like a plan.
Well, since we basically don't have any other games, and we've been talking for almost an hour about all the cool games Charles has been playing, I think it's been a good discussion. People might enjoy it. I think we should probably wrap for this week, folks.
Okay.
All right, off to Rapture, then.
Have fun. Enjoy your time shooting and throwing water tentacles and grabbing bullets out of the air, whatever you do. I was a big fan of Bioshock Infinite, as was everyone. I don't know that the shooting part was the part everyone was completely enamored of, but hey, whatever. Anyway, thanks for joining me in the studio, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that's it for us. Email us, podcast@gamesreviews.com. Follow us on Twitter. We'll have all the links in the show notes. Till next time, we are done.
See ya.